All right. So we're just going to wing this because mostly these friends of mine, we get together, we'll talk movies, mm-hmm. and it's a nonstop conversation. And that's kind of what a podcast is. It's a conversation that never ends. We're talking movies. We're talking pop culture. We're talking TV. We're talking a lot of different things. And that's what we'll be doing tonight here on the Film Threat Podcast Live. Woo!
Come on in, sit down,
join the party. My name is Chris Gore, sometimes known on the internet as That Chris Gore. I am the founder, creator of Film Threat, which is a fanzine I started in 1985. That's why I'm also known as the Ancient One, for many of you. But let me introduce the members of this esteemed panel. To my right, Tommy Bechtold.
Hello.
Comedian, actor, great friend of mine from improv comedy shows like Comic Book Live.
Yes.
And the kings of cosplay comedy.
Oh yeah, the kings, baby.
The kings. All sorts of improv comedy where we made absolutely no money.
No, it was not for profit.
It was not for profit, that's right. No, we did it for the love and the fun. Another comedian, producer, writer, friend of mine, TJ Chambers.
I think you can tell by this suit, I don't do many things not for profit.
But I am loving the Logan look that you are rocking.
Yeah.
Like, you are full, you've gone full Logan.
This is like two-thirds Logan. We'll gray it up a little bit. We have a panel later where I will be playing Logan. So there's some claws and some gray, but for right now, enjoy semi-Logan. Enjoy Logan light.
And while you can't see it on the podcast, your knuckles are covered in pus. It looks incredible.
It's important to cultivate real pus, I think, for these things.
So are mine, weirdly.
Hey, who on your panel bingo had, within the first 5 minutes, a pus mention? Anyone? Anyone have it?
Exactly. Hey. Yeah. And also joining us, a surprise guest, because John Schnepp is delayed, but also a good longtime friend, someone I could talk to forever and ever about TV and film, comedian Paul Goebel. Paul Goebel. And you might recognize Paul from the Comedy Central TV show. You were?
I was the TV geek on Beat the Geeks.
Oh, yeah.
Beat the Geeks.
I love that show.
That was a fantastic show.
You were like a real sassy geek. Like, you really got it. Yeah. I was like you. You were my favorite.
We wrote all those insults ourselves.
Those were great.
That's how great they were.
Well, let's hop right into it. Let's talk about some quick movie news here.
Okay.
A couple of quick movie news items, and I want to get your guys' opinions on them. A couple of things. One, what did we think of the Star Trek Discovery trailer? We're here at this convention, and these things are important to us sitting in this crowd. Mm. Star Trek Discovery trailer, did we like it, or was it a little too Force Awakens-y?
That's the general vibe. It's funny, because the whole goal of TV is to be like, don't go to the movies, watch TV. And then the Discovery trailer came out, people are like, it looks too much like a movie. So I'm not quite sure which one we're supposed to be aiming for. Mm. But,
exactly.
You know, listen, it's been however many years it's been. I'm happy to see a new Star Trek show either way. So,
and Paul Goebel, yeah. I know you're a big Star Trek fan.
Yeah. I mean, I got CBS All Access just so I could
What see is your Star password Trek. So I can borrow it so I can watch Star Trek?
But I will say this, if you're going to get CBS All Access to see the new Star Trek, you should just get it anyways, because you can see The Good Fight, which is a very good show, and it's exclusive. And then you can watch all the CBS shows without commercials if you want, including Colbert, so it's great. But I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for that trailer, and I wouldn't say I was overwhelmed, but I wasn't disappointed. I liked that it kind of showed you exactly what you're going to get. There's, you know, a lot of diversity. It's not focused on the captain, and there's some Klingons. That's your show, right? That's the whole thing. So that's what I got out of it, and I'm down.
And another big piece of movie news this week, Zack Snyder will be stepping down from the Justice League movie, a family tragedy, which was really sad. Joss Whedon is now taking over the reins as director. Is this a good thing? We're 1 week out from what will probably end up being the first good DC movie. I don't know where you stand. We're about 1 week out from Wonder Woman, which I believe is going to be the movie that will right the ship.
Well, first of all, you're forgetting about Steel with Shaquille O'Neal. Just the best DC movie. I think, but like principal photography is wrapped. So like, Joss,
no, Joss is doing a couple of reshoots. Okay. They're kind of reforming the story, and Joss Whedon, of course, did a little independent film called The Avengers, which was kind of where all the pieces of the puzzle in the Marvel universe came together. Is DC going to right the ship now?
I hope so. I mean, it's better if they're both good. It's like, competition breeds better quality for everything. So if DC keeps making bad movies, there's a better chance that Marvel is going to get lazy and make bad movies. If DC makes great movies, then Marvel will have to keep up with that and continue making better stuff.
You'd rather see Ollie Foreman than Ollie Chuck Wepner. Who's a boxing fan? Yeah.
Chuck Wepner.
There you go.
Nice.
And I think a thing we say, because when that Joss Whedon news, obviously it was heart-wrenching news, and as much as you want to be glad because a name like Joss Whedon that we all love and trust is involved in this thing, you don't want to be glad for the reason that it was. But a thing that we all say in film and TV is that editing is your final chance to direct the movie. Obviously, he's going to shoot some reshoots. I would assume that he'll be able to have a hand in tinkering with some editing and that kind of thing. So I am somewhat confident that there's a chance to sort of sprinkle some Whedon magic. It's not.
Did you say weed magic?
Yeah.
Oh, weed magic. Oh, I'm sorry.
Rolling up.
See, all you youngins, if you vape right now, I swear to God, I won't.
I just checked my watch to see if it was 4:20, like a person who doesn't understand how time works. 7:42.
Close enough.
It's not 4:20 somewhere, but that's also the right time.
I want to ask you guys a question about speaking of DC movies. I just watched Suicide Squad on HBO, because I'm not going to pay any extra money.
We're clapping for HBO.
So Will Smith is this amazing weapons expert, right? He knows everything about guns.
Right.
Doesn't he know that only an asshole holds your gun sideways? The thing's going to pop out and burn him or his kid. Right?
That's how good he is.
He's so good. He'll dodge the cartridge
shell. Yeah.
Well, that's what you want. Listen, to worry about.
If there's something, here's how good Deadshot is in the amazing Oscar-winning film Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's right. It's Oscar-winning.
There should have been a part where a guy behind him wanted to light a cigarette. And he shot, and the cartridge went and lit the guy.
I would have been down with that. That I would have stood up and applauded.
Well, looks like Hollywood needs you. Look for SS2, directed by old T.J. Chambers.
Chambers joined at all times.
The other big piece of movie news this week that probably went by you guys was the whole Universal connected monster universe, the Dark
World. Oh, yeah.
So. Is this really going to work? I mean, it's one thing where Marvel had all these years of comic book history to draw from, great stories that they could use to craft these characters. And I think it really started with the characters, right? I mean, the first Iron Man movie worked because Robert Downey Jr., he created this character that really made you feel something, right? So I don't know. Are we going to – and also I've seen that Mummy trailer with Tom Cruise. I don't know. My voice always goes higher. I'm not sure if it's gonna work.
Your voice is getting higher.
I'm not a big fan of movies where the villain is a digital effect. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which seems like the Mummy is going in that direction. So what do we think about this connected universal universe? And what do you guys think in just reaction? How do you react? Well, that's
overwhelming approval. we'll re-edit that.
Is it just because they want to jump in the game of connected universe and that connected universe?
Of course. They have a theme. There are theme parks all over the world. They only stand to make money because people are going to see these movies no matter what. Like, I saw that trailer. And I said, oh, that's fun what they do with the eyes. They split the pupils. Look at that. That's neat. I want to see more of that. I like Russell Crowe. I like all the people they have lined up to play those roles. But it does feel like they're just going to throw a lot of, what's the expression, spaghetti against the wall and see what's – they're going to overwhelm you with star power. And then you'll have to just sort it out. I'm hopeful, though. I think I want it to be good. Like, I hope it does connect. I hope it is interesting. But like many people in the audience, I felt like this.
Well, and the dark, it's Dark World, right? Not Dark Universe?
Dark Universe.
Dark Universe trailer specifically was interesting because it was a very cool trailer. Mm. And then I realized every single thing that's in this, every single person who made all these awesome things is dead now.
Right, that's true.
So it was sort of like, remember how awesome we were able to do things from, you know, 1928 to 1948 or whatever. So, I hope they recapture some of that magic. Obviously, Universal just sent an intern into a vault and was like, find some stuff together that's valuable. And the guy came back and was like, I got some stuff, or whatever. But certainly the Tom Cruise mummy doesn't look like it, but if they in any way use that gothic feel that they did of those old things as a template, I'm for it. But if they just use a bunch of CGI...
It looks like they're building up to do the Avengers, right?
It needs to be the Monster Squad.
It's like Monster Squad.
It has to come together as the Monster Squad.
Fred Grandy. Yeah, that would be awesome. They get all the monsters, like Drac Pack. You remember that cartoon? Dracula's son and his high school buddies. The thing that I think they're betting on is that now, unlike when you go to Universal Studios and you go, oh, there's Dracula, there's a Frankenstein over there. Now you're gonna go, oh, there's Dracula from the movie that I just saw last month. And that's Frankenstein, the guy who was played by someone who's actually a good actor. And now I want my picture with him, because also, remember when like Marvel superheroes were at Universal? That is long gone. You can't see that anymore. Yeah. So who is walking around there? Beetlejuice? No, man.
And will Beetlejuice be part of the Dark Universe?
Well, he is the ghost of the most.
Well, let's get into talking about film, right? Let's get into talking about film. I know you
as
guys...
As opposed to the Universal Monster movie.
Right. Let's talk about...
Why would you invite me onto your own show? Yes, carry on.
Well, I'm going to look for... Oh, and here he is. Welcome to the stage.
Oh...
From Collider Heroes.
Looks like there's still hope for my dad coming
in. This is like the what if episode of Collider Heroes.
I have a couple of what ifs in here.
Oh, nice. Woo. Joining the stage, John Schnepp, everyone. John, of course, you know from Collider Heroes on the Collider Videos channel on YouTube. John Schnepp, you also know from The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, the documentary. You also know him as the guy who spoke the truth in Morgan Spurlock's movie about San Diego Comic-Con and fandom. I love that.
Thanks, Chris.
What? I'm trying to build you up and give you a big in.
Boo! Hey, can I get a picture for everybody? I'm gonna tweet this out and say, fuck you, Jeremy Johns. Just kidding.
Yeah!
Jeremy's a good pal, so...
Everybody, get in John Schnepp!
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
So we were just talking. We were just
suddenly leaned in as if they were sure that's where the edge of the frame was. Some people be like, I'll lean in and cheat. It'll be great. I'll be in the
So what we were talking, we were basically catching up everyone on movie news that happened in the last week. Now we're going to segue into talking about... I worked at a video store, and I'm sure a lot of people at some point worked in some... If you didn't work at a video store at some point, you went into a video store, and you had conversations about what you should see on video. So what I want to ask everyone here on our panel is a movie that you would recommend if video stores existed, which they don't. But if you were going to, say, the virtual video store now, which I guess is iTunes or Vudu, or buying bootleg DVDs on the floor here at the con, because I did see the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie at the con, so I highly recommend picking that up.
Why are you talking like a robot?
Because... I only talk about I only talk like a robot when I'm around John Schnepp. I don't know why.
This is Chris Gore's nerd voice.
that's just because that's our shorthand of like how we've talked to each other for years. But what I want everyone on the panel to do is like give a recommendation for people here. I mean, the one thing that people always ask me all the time is they ask me for a movie recommendation, right? They'll say, hey, Chris, what's your movie recommendation? Well, I have one that you would not like, which is called Raiders of the Lost Shark. This is a movie that I do not recommend. And if you're the person who grabs this out of my hand, you can have this movie that I don't recommend.
Wow.
Damn.
Doesn't it pay to hit sit in the front?
Good
give a big hand. Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Shark. Dick Shark, that's what we all got last year. This year at Phoenix Comic-Con, it's slim pickings.
That's right.
It's slim pickings for some bad DVDs.
Didn't you have like 1,000 Dick Sharks or something? You only had one of those.
I had like 1,000 copies of Dick Shark last year, and which were fantastic. But I want to hear from you guys a recommendation. Let's say you're at the video store counter, someone comes up, what's a cool movie that I should see that they might not know about?
Oh.
Yeah, you're raising your hand, but you know what? Okay, let's hear it.
Rashomon Tombstone.
That's a good. We're gonna have to put that on our list.
I'm excited.
Sir, right
that.
Here.
Wait,
Ice
is
Pirates.
It?
Ice Pirates. Oh yes,
oh,
Ice Pirates.
Yeah.
An 80s classic in 3D, of course.
Yeah,
but let's start with Paul, and we'll go down.
Quick question: yeah. Is Rashomon Tombstone the story of Doc Holliday and everyone told through multiple different? Is everyone, you retell the story again and again, but it's like the Battle of the OK Corral, but through everybody's different perspective?
Alex Cox just made it, yeah, just like that.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Okay, all right. When you get to me, I might have a recommendation.
Okay, good. But Paul, do you mind starting with you? And like, I just want to, like, one of the cool things when you talk to any movie fan is they've always got like, well, you haven't seen that. You got to see Tokyo Gore Police. Okay, yeah.
I think we got the premise.
Okay.
All right, so if you guys were watching TV this season, you'll see that like all the new shows about time travel got canceled. And then they brought Timeless back because they felt bad that all the time travel shows got canceled. But one of the worst ones was Time After Time, which is actually based on an awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, it stars Malcolm McDowell, Mary Steenburgen, and it's directed by Nick Meyer, who directed Star Trek II, the best Star Trek movie. So it's a really well-told story about Jack the Ripper. Oh, and John Warner plays Jack the Ripper from Tron and everything.
David Warner,
he plays John the Ripper in that movie. But it's really good, and you should see it. So that's my recommendation, Time After Time.
And the great part of this, H.G. Wells goes to McDonald's in the movie.
Yes.
Remember the scene where he goes to McDonald's? I don't know. I also love that film. I think Time After Time it's much better than the shitty TV show.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, no, which was garbage. Mm-hmm.
Great song, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Great
job. TJ.
Okay. When I did work at Blockbuster Video, as of course I did, I was the only person who liked or knew anything about movies. So what I remember is that people would come in and they would talk to another employee and they'd be like, I'm looking for this movie. I can't quite remember the name. It's got like Dorothy and a yellow brick road and they're searching for something. And they would go like, ask TJ. He's the one who knows. That's how little people at Blockbuster to know. In the late 90s. No idea. This movie probably doesn't hold up, but if I literally had a VHS copy right now of Bloodbath at the House of Death with Vincent Price, I would watch the shit out of it. It's a schlocky horror comedy from like the mid-80s, and either everyone here has seen it and you're like, of course we've all seen it a million times, or no one has seen it, and I honestly can't take the temperature of this room to tell you either way.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Like, how many people have seen Theater of Blood? Raise your hand. Okay. That's a few speckles of a very much more famous Vincent Price movie with the word blood in it. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay. Oh, my God. Then this is exciting. I might be the one who parachuted in and gave you a gem, or, as I remember from being 16, a terrible movie. It's a comedy. It's sort of a spoof. It was clearly Vincent Price, like, at the end of his life, cashing in. But I remember laughing uproariously at lines. So check out Bloodbath at the House of Death.
Cool.
Good title.
Tommy.
Well, I never worked at a video store, but I did have to commit identity fraud because I kept keeping movies by accident. So I would have to go around and pose as a new person or beg my family to rent movies for me. I think the movie that I will watch, I recently watched a movie called Bloodsucking Bastards, which is available on... I think on demand. It was made pretty recently. It's like a horror comedy movie, and I know a couple people that worked on it, so it's a little bit of a cheap plug for them. But I thought they did a really fun job of keeping it funny, but also taking it seriously. Like, it wasn't over the top silly. It was more like almost like a Shaun of the Dead type thing, where like, oh, you're actually worried about the people as they're in danger. Plus, it's got. Pedro Pascal before, like, he must not have known he was about to get real famous and do, like, be the Red Viper on Game of Thrones, because he's in this movie, which probably cost $20 to make. But it's a good movie. It's a, and I really enjoy it, and I recommend it. I think you can watch it for free if you have Showtime, or you can probably on demand it for a couple bucks.
What's it called?
Bloodsucking Bastards.
Or also if you, a great song.
Or if you go to Walmart, Bloodsucking Bosses.
Love it.
Yeah.
John, you probably have a ton in your head of...
I got two. How many people here have seen Stuart Gordon's From Beyond? All right, speckling. So anyway, Stuart Gordon made a bunch of these really cool movies. He made Reanimator, made From Beyond. He worked with a guy named Brian Yuzna, so I would recommend Society, which is a very, very strange, very special effects, heavy, freaky look at really rich, gross people and why you'd want to see them all murdered. I'd highly recommend seeing it. It's called Society. It just they recently re-released it on a Blu-ray and DVD, so... I would say that, or I would go older school. I'd say John Borman's Zardoz. How many people here have seen Zardoz?
Oh. Zardoz!
The penis is evil! Not really. But when you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. You should definitely see this movie. It's like the perfect 70s film, loaded with sex and fucking violence and awesomeness, and an actual real message. And when you find out what Zardoz really means, your mind will be blown.
I can't wait.
No spoilers!
I gotta go.
So I guess we're going with like a horror theme here and sticking on that. People, any Frank Henenlotter fans in the audience?
No.
Huge.
Whoa, not one person.
Again, we'll edit in.
Wow, what are you?
My name is Belial, and you all suck.
How did you know? Okay, so Frank Henenlotter, I'll give you two movies that you need to see of his. One is called, you have to see Basket Case, of which there were sequels. Basket Case is... I don't even want to give it away. It's just it's a loving.
I'm Belial.
It's a loving story of two brothers that has lots of blood, guts, and gore. So you need to see Basket Case. The other thing is a movie he made later in his career called Frankenhooker, which if you're a fan of the movie, there's an old movie from the 50s called The Head That Wouldn't Die, also sometimes retitled The Brain That Wouldn't Die, where it's like this guy's, his girlfriend gets her head chopped off. So what does he do? He revives the head, keeps it alive, and just goes to strip clubs to look at burlesque dancers and see which girl's body he should put on his girlfriend's head. It's really bizarre.
What a romp.
So Frankenhooker is sort of a modern retelling of The Head That Wouldn't Die. So Frank Henenlotter, highly recommend. And I'm going to give you another bonus recommendation.
Wait, before you do the bonus, in Blockbuster, if you went and got the Frankenhooker, it had a little button that said, want a date? Like you could actually squeeze the VHS button. And the Frankenhooker would say, want a date? Not fucking around.
Also, I just watched Frankenhooker like 4 days ago.
Oh, that's weird.
So it's crazy that you said that. Not of my own choice. I was in like a cabin in Big Bear with a bunch of friends, and then we ended up watching it. And I was on some drugs, but there's a great scene where her severed head is on there, and he's pouring wine into its mouth, and it's kind of coming out the neck. And he goes, "Are you enjoying your Beaujolais?" Which is way too fancy of a wine for that scene. It was like a wine aficionado. I laughed and laughed. Well, you could have been Shiraz. What? No, Beaujolais was exactly right.
I was going to say, what would you have paired with a severed head?
Like a Pinot Noir.
Sure.
If you take away nothing else, just
Frank Henenlotter, highly recommend those two films. And I'm going to recommend a movie just because I have you as a captive audience that I saw last week, which came out last year, and I promise you there's not one person in this room that saw it. It's a movie that stars Sally Field.
Woo! Yeah.
And it's no me. One saw this movie from last year. It's called My Name is Doris. Woo! You saw it?
Whoa.
Okay,
whoa,
you guys have seen it.
Four.
Okay, that movie blew my mind. I thought it was amazing. It's the story of this, like, 60-year-old woman that we're... Even my description of it is going to... You're going to sound... Oh, that sounds lame. But she falls in love with a much younger guy and sort of gets involved in this hipster scene, and they all end up loving her because of her style and her taste and everything. And it's really heartwarming, highly recommended, funny as hell. And yeah, there's no,
I saw the
no
trailer
one gets,
for it.
No one gets their head chopped off in it.
Right.
There's no blood and gore. There's no boobs. There's not. I mean, it's just a straight up entertaining film.
There's not boobs. Sally Field doesn't not have boobs.
Well, that's it. She doesn't. But
no
but,
exposed
but
boobs.
But also, it does kind of make fun of our modern culture and hipsters. And I thought that was very entertaining.
Yes.
That aspect of it was entertaining. So you should be writing these down. You should be asking Siri about them right now. I want to see you taking notes.
You understand that this was a chance to plug your podcast. You could have just said, don't write these down and download the podcast.
Yes, oh, that's right. You could just download the podcast. One of the things, if you guys have questions, come on up and ask your question. Maybe you'll get a DVD. If you have it has to be a good question. It can't be a question that sucks. It's got to be a very good question.
No pressure.
But I want to ask these
guys.
That's
the way to get people up to ask questions, by the way. Let them know they will be judged.
You will be judged based on the quality of your question.
Definitely.
But here's a thing I want to throw out. I'm trying to kill some time because I want you guys to think about this for a moment.
Got it.
Which is, there's a whole cult of, because we're all film collectors here, here on the stage. And there's a whole group of films that didn't make it from VHS to DVD. Mm-hmm. Now there's a whole group of movies that have not made it from DVD onto digital platforms. So I don't know about you, I have not gotten rid of a lot of my DVDs because I haven't seen that they've actually, you know, crossed over.
Right.
Can you think of a film that you would recommend that is not available for download? You know what I mean? Like, oh, because I think we take it for granted that, like, you can just download it. No, you can't. You can't just download everything. And in addition, I'll give you an example. I was at this horror convention in Pasadena called Monsterpalooza, which I love. Monsterpalooza, for anyone who's been to that, I love it.
Yeah.
So Monsterpalooza is great. They had a VHS room where you could go into the VHS room and you could pick up on VHS movies like The Groove Tube.
Ah.
Or do you remember Kentucky Fried Movie?
Yes.
No, you don't, because they're not on digital.
Okay,
but a film I picked up there that first of all, I don't have a VHS player at the moment. I have to get a VHS player.
I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
We gotta get together and do a gathering.
It's portable. I can bring it to your place.
It's a film that stars Abe Vigoda. It's Abe Vigoda and Paul Sorvino on it. And it's a painted cover on a clamshell. Do you remember the old clamshell VHS? A painted cover by Jack Davis, who used to do Mad Magazine covers, right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of like cheesy Jack Davis style of movie posters, you know? And the name of the movie, it's called Vasectomy the Movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the tagline is A Delicate Matter. So I have not seen this film. Yes, I purchased this for like $10 at Monsterpalooza on VHS just because of the cover alone. But we need to have some screening of this movie. Vasectomy,
yes.
A Delicate Matter.
I should invite a bunch of fathers.
It looks like a comedic romp, yeah. Right?
Fittingly, no one who owns that movie has ever gotten anyone pregnant.
Yeah. But this is a movie that I don't ever remember being released on DVD.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anything about it, but there's a whole cult of people collecting films to preserve them because they'll no longer make it into digital platforms. So can you think of any film that you are at least mostly aware that it's not on digital, that is a rare DVD or VHS even, if we could reach that back that far, that you would highly recommend to people here in this audience, starved for movie information? And I'm going to continue to kill time by another non-film recommendation. This is a movie by Bill Zebub. Now, do you guys know Bill Zebub? Okay, so Bill Zebub is this filmmaker that he really embraced, because a lot of times I'll say to filmmakers, people that are starting their careers in entertainment, that it's more important to be consistent than it is to be good. And no one I can think of has embraced that philosophy more than Bill Zebub. This guy makes a movie about every 6 months. So a movie that I can't recommend to you, but I will throw out into the audience, is Santa Claus Serial Rapist.
Wow.
And I'm just going to guess, based on the photos, that Santa Claus is in it and probably raping people.
Well, more than one.
So, and it's, you know, look.
He's just out there taking the cookie.
In the holiday tradition, In the holiday tradition of movies that feature Santa Claus killing people, Santa Claus Serial Rapist, to whoever catches it, I'm going to toss it up right here. See if you can catch it. Oh, look at that man. Got it.
He
nice.
Sees you when you're sleeping.
Nice.
He knows when you're awake.
There you go.
Oh,
Now, can you guys think of a movie that you recommend? That's okay. Tommy, you got one.
So I'm fairly certain this movie never made the transition from. I'm not sure this is a real movie. I just looked it up because I used to watch it when I was sick all the time on VHS. It's called George's Island. Has anyone ever seen George's Island? It's a movie about two. It's like a kids movie, so it's a little nostalgic for me. But it's like a really fun kids movie that for some reason takes a super dark turn. They're like two kids, and they get put into a foster home. The one kid just wants to live with his grandpa. His parents are dead, I presume, or bad parents. And they get numbers. I remember they get numbers, and they live in like jail cells in the foster home in the basement. And then the grandfather rescues both the kids on Halloween by dressing as an eyeball and pretending to be a kid, like a giant eyeball costume. And then they go on an adventure to find Captain Kidd's treasure, where they are met by pirates. And there's like real decapitations in the scenes once the pirates get there. It's very graphic, but I remember like feeling so mature because like I watched it as a 9-year-old. To my knowledge, no famous actors are in this movie. It may have been made by my parents' friends and given to them as a gift. But IMDb lists it as a film that exists. So I would say George's Island. It is fun. I still to this day remember. I've probably watched it 50 times as a kid. And I loved it. It was just one of those things where it's like 99% okay for kids, and then that 1% is just a big 1%.
That's funny that you mentioned that. It actually reminds me of a film that you guys are huge Dr. Seuss fans, right? Who doesn't love Dr. Seuss?
You're reading my mind.
Okay.
I think it's coming out on Blu-ray, though, but no, okay. Exactly what you're going to say.
The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T.
Yeah.
Is it who's heard of that film?
Yeah.
Okay, very few. It's Dr. Seuss's only live action movie. It was made in the 50s. It's bizarre and
so fucked up.
It's so weird. Do you want to talk about the? You can go to YouTube and you can look up trailers for the 5,000 Fingers of Dr.
Forget I ever saw it.
It's a musical. It's disturbing. The studio recut it a couple times. It involves atomic energy, and it's the weirdest, most bizarre. Like it's frightening to children
and adults.
You'll see retrospective screening. So imagine the delightfulness of Doctor Who, but everything is live action with people prancing
Dr.
around.
Seuss.
Dr. Seuss, like so. Ted Geisel, right? His real name, but Dr. Seuss is just. It's just a. It's so funny that we were thinking of the
it
same
movie.
It was
in my mind. I think the mutagenetic waves were just like.
And he's wearing. You'll see. There's a little kid with a beanie. The lead character has a beanie with a hand on
it's
top.
It's got
the
five
beanie.
Fingers.
Five fingers. Yeah. So
he has a hand.
But what's interesting is the visual style is it looks like a Dr. Seuss drawn cartoon, but in live action. And you're thinking, well, as a drawn cartoon, they're very fanciful and fun. This live action movie is effed up. It is not for children. That was like that. It's bizarre. Sir, you'd like to add a comment?
The kid with the beanie.
Yes.
Dean Stockwell.
Oh shit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
Charming
right.
Child Dean Stockwell.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a candy-colored clown.
The only person that none of us can imagine under 60 years old is my point. Yeah.
Dean Stockwell of the film Dune.
I thought the kid
Blue
from
Velvet.
Lassie was in that movie. From what? Jeff's Collie.
What's that?
Jeff from Jeff's Collie. I thought he was in that movie. He played, and before it was Timmy and Lassie, the show was called Jeff's Collie, and it was Jeff was his owner. But I think he's in that movie, too.
Wow. Highly recommend seeing that movie. It's fucked up.
If anyone in here is a professional TV geek, they can... Fact check. Oh, you're the only professional.
Well, Paul, there's so many lost television shows. Can you think of like forget like set aside movies because we have the advantage of having you here, the TV geek from Beat the Geeks. You could probably think of about 10 TV shows that never made it. I mean, Lost Pilots is kind of a huge thing.
Yeah, well, especially because when they started shooting shows on videotape.
Right.
There was no film, and then if the show didn't make it, it got thrown in the garbage or recorded over or whatever. What I would like to see, personally, if there's stuff from TV that could be seen, it would be the early days of The Wonderful World of Disney or Disney's Wonderful World of Color when they did it live. Like, there's an episode where they open Disneyland, and the Art and Glitter is there at the opening, and they have, three rides. And it's a complete clusterfuck. Like, they couldn't find a microphone until right before they shot.
and it's live, so you can tell when they're stretching and when they're, you know, trying to fill time and stuff. But the great thing about them is all those early episodes of that show were just commercials for another Disney product, whether it was Disneyland or Daniel Boone, or here's how we make the submarine ride, or, you know, whatever. It's all a commercial. But I would like to see, especially live stuff and live game shows, that would be awesome. There's this real terrible one that Jackie Gleason did called You're in the Picture. Anybody ever heard of this?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they only did one episode because it was so bad. But the premise was they would get celebrities and they would be behind a famous painting and have to stick their faces through it and then ask questions about the painting and guess what it was. Because they couldn't see it. Get it? You're in the picture.
Oh.
And apparently it was so bad that the next week, Jackie Gleason came on live and sat at a little table and said, I want to apologize for that bomb. We're never going to do that again. here's some girls dancing in Guy City. From then on, it was like the Jackie Gleason variety hour.
Hey, so you just reminded me, Jackie Gleason, I don't know if Skidoo is on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
It is? All right, well, I wasn't going to mention that, but now that you mentioned Jackie Gleason, mine is Necromantic, and I don't know if that's on Blu-ray or not, but Necromantic 2 is even more fucked up, so...
Necromantic actually was distributed by Film Threat Video.
On DVD, but not Blu-ray.
No, yeah, exactly, not Blu-ray, but it was, yeah, no, we put it out on even on VHS in the 90s.
Dang.
Way back then.
What about Tetsuo the Body Hammer, the sequel to Tetsuo Iron Man? Is that out on Blu-ray?
I'm not sure, but...
do you guys remember that? The second Tetsuo?
Oh.
Not the iron, not the weird one that was black and white. The guy made a sequel that was in color. It wasn't really well received because it kind of sucked, as opposed to the first one, which was... groundbreaking. He kind of just remade it, but it wasn't as good.
So, what? While you guys are thinking of more of these types of films that fit into this category, but wait, did you have one?
I do. Well, I have a genre with some specific movies, but per what we were talking about before with Blockbuster, what we lost when things switched from a physical cover was one of my favorite things was the notion that they could trick you into buying or renting a movie that was like something else that was out there. And my favorite of that is the Bruce Campbell starring film Tornado, which was sort of like, well, Twister's in the theater.
Yeah.
So if we stick Bruce Campbell, who doesn't look entirely unlike Bill Paxton, in a movie and rush out there and stick it up,
right,
dumb people will walk by and rent this. Mm. And I'm positive that, you know, there was Raptor after Jurassic Park came out and all those things. So
Transmorphers?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the Earth stop.
Oh, they got me.
I just love thinking of like coked up Hollywood executives being like, we can beat them to the market, and rushing these things out there, and all those have to be gone because there's no trickeration to be had anymore. There's really no point.
Right.
Yeah, that whole genre of like trying to trick people. Yeah.
The Terminators.
Like, yeah.
Wasn't that that was Asylum Forever, right?
They did a Mighty Thor when Thor came out. They did Mighty Thor starring Richard Grieco as Loki, and he's the only person in it from Asgard. He yells at the sky, Thor, I will beat you, but he's the only guy. Because Thor, you know, Marvel doesn't own the idea. Sherlock Holmes and all those. But the Thor one, it's Richard Grieco like 2 years ago. Not the good Grieco.
Not prime Grieco.
No.
Well, I want to get some more of these sort of lost film recommendations that we can throw out to people here that are writing them down and putting them in Siri. And we'll get one from the audience right here, sir. Yes.
Guys, need to throw out a little love for The Highway to Hell, Chad Lowe.
Love that movie. With Chad Lowe.
Chad.
Wow, Chad Lowe. That's a deep cut.
Life goes on.
I love that one.
I need Christy Swanson's in it. Don't,
oh, that's great.
Don't leave with not Christy Swanson.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Well, here's what I want to do. It is, just so you know, it's a 5-year anniversary of Attack of the Show going off the air.
Wow. Yeah.
Going off the air in 2000. Look, first of all, it was I loved it. Did that show once a week for almost 8 years. It was a blast. Yes, exactly. But it was a lot of fun. And one of the things that people loved on that show was when I would do the DVDs a rapid fire. So what I want to do is I want to get some help from you guys here.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a movie, and I want you to review the movie based on the cover.
Okay.
So I'm just going to throw out the cover, tell you the title of the movie, and then I'm going to throw the movie out to the audience, and whoever grabs it can keep it. And I've got maybe like 10 films here. So we'll go through each.
It's a loose term. I got,
yeah. Yes, very loosely, right. And there might be some more Beelzebub films in this stack. So stay tuned. But let's start with our first film. The title is Jurassic Prey. Prepare for extinction.
It's the offshoot film of the lawyer who got eaten out of the bathroom. Actually, just him studying really hard for the bar exam.
I think it's actually a Christian film and it's got a typo on the front.
Each of these dinosaurs are under 5,000 years old. I got it.
All right. Okay, who wants it?
Yeah. Right, should we speculate on the actors in these movies?
Okay, yeah, I can give you some details on the back. Okay, our next film is Shark Exorcist. Satan has jaws.
When an overweight shark decides to turn his life around via exercise. Also a typo.
Not written by Peter Benchley or Roy Blatty.
The power of Bruce compels you. The power of Bruce compels you. Thank you very much.
I do remember, unlike shooting a rifle into the air tank, the way that they finally defeated it was just blessing the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who finally defeats the shark walks on water all the way over here.
He says it's The Exorcist meets Jaws, as entertaining as it is. It is absurd, and I don't even know who the fuck this guy is. It's James DePaul of Wicked Channel.
Okay. My favorite is that they... Okay.
He gave the quote.
Chris, what was the first line in the back of that again?
It was Satan has jaws.
Well, on the back, yeah. So
on the back.
It's a movie called Shark Exorcist, and the very first way they described it in the back was, it's Jaws meets The Exorcist.
I bet a shark's not even in it. On the back cover is a girl with shark teeth. There's no shark in this movie.
All right. Well, someone can tell us how it is. I'm going to toss it, so watch it.
Where's the back?
Whoa! Good check, sir. Oh shit! For some reason I have this signed, and it says
value just went up on this bad boy.
I signed it because I think I was gonna give it to somebody, and it says sorry, Chris.
Oh, it's signed by you.
Wow, this is definitely value.
And there's I don't know why, but on the you can just see on the back. Notice there's a lot of scantily clad women.
Yeah, throw that one at me, please.
Except the movie is called Nightmare on Elmo Street. And features a puppet. And just to be clear, this is the uncut version.
The great thing about this movie is all the way through it, he has to keep explaining, I'm not that Elmo. I'm not Elmo.
That, if I remember correctly, is the only movie where you do see Sally Field's boobs.
It stars Aaron Brown. Any Aaron Brown fans?
Huge Aaron Brown fan.
Yeah, sure.
Well, there we go. The sounds of silence.
I bet he or she worked very hard, depending on the spelling of Aaron, at the making of this film. And I'd love to see the edited version, because I've got gentle eyes. Also, every day was a nightmare on Elmo Street, judging by what happened with Kevin Clash. And it turns out he's not a good man.
I would just be afraid.
I didn't do it.
Too soon, Tommy.
I was not the man operating a beloved children's puppet and also possibly a predator, maybe, pending legal outcomes.
I'm just concerned if this went to a household with children and it was on its side and the child could read the word Elmo, this would fall into the wrong hands. So I'm tossing it out to you. Who would like it? Somebody. Here it goes.
One of these is going to get batted back.
All right. There you go.
Wow.
I don't know if we should be congratulated or not, to be honest. Let's,
Someone's going to Matumbo one of these back in our faces. Bam!
Okay. Our next film, it just says, okay, so the tagline on the back, it says, bigger, better, badder, and it's The Incredible Bulk. Wow! And it says, okay, to be honest, I'm interested because of this quote on the front, also by James DePaul of Wicked Channel. The same guy. This guy, I don't know. It's credible. It says, this is the room of superhero movies.
Whoa. Wow.
How is that even a combination?
Thicker, wider, fatter.
I don't know. I would have thought that's the incredible bulk,
the room of superhero movies? I don't get it.
I'm a fan of the classics, so what I want to know is it Green Bulk or Gray Bulk? We're at Comic-Con, come on.
I'm bloated. You wouldn't like me when I'm bloated.
And of course the sequel, She-Bulk.
Okay, someone is going to be popping this into the DVD player. I'm gonna try and throw it to the back, but you can't. Okay, here we go.
No one
watch can. It.
Oh, there's a scrum for the Incredible Hulk. Please.
Hulk, it's the room of superhero movies.
Yeah. Health insurance is touch and go these days, everyone. Don't wrestle with the Incredible
Hulk. These are going to be re-gifted in Christmas. Those will just be like, here's a present for you.
All right, our next film, which will be re-gifted to someone at a white elephant gathering. First of all, I don't get too excited. It's on Blu-ray. It's a little scantily clad.
That's like HDD.
Not a lot of details about this one. There's no tagline or anything. It's just 50 Shades of Scarlet.
Wow.
I think the 50 Shades is the operative term in this one.
That can't be a thing. Scarlet is a specific
Scarlet is a color. Gray is a color. I see.
Can I read the back to you? Let me read the back. This is a Beelzebub. Scarlet Storm is a rising star in the world of sexploitation movies. This double feature Blu-ray showcases two of her many facets. Crippled by Desire depicts Scarlet as a damsel in distress, one of four women who are tormented by a depraved intruder. Okay. And the next is Quantum Leap of Faith shows Scarlet's dominant and intelligently comic side.
Oh boy.
Scarlet wrote those for sure. And also, that's two Shades of Scarlet.
Yeah.
We're giving you two Shades of Scarlet.
Yeah.
There are 48 owed to you.
Who's interested in this Blu-ray?
Nobody.
Someone else. Yeah, you guys are not like, okay, here you go, over here.
It's funny. This panel will only end when you guys say no thank you in unison.
No more.
This is our hell now. We're stuck here.
It keeps looking like he has no more DVDs. He just keeps looking around.
There's at least 18 more. I can see them.
I don't even know how to describe this. I'm just going to read from the back. It will be a long time before any other movie will even come close to this one.
It's like proximity.
And just to be clear, this is... Oh my God, this is great. Okay, I've seen the... Okay, it says, the running time for this movie is 85 minutes. Wait, don't say anything. Quiet, you guys. Seriously. Okay. This movie comes with a bonus movie that I have seen. The movie is called Ass Monster. No, that's the bonus movie. Okay, and can I just tell you, I've seen the movie Ass Monsters. It's the best thing Beelzebub has ever done. It's about a bunch of guys who go to horror conventions and they want to make a horror movie so they can just see girls naked. And that's their whole excuse. And they're making a movie called Ass Monster in the movie Ass Monster.
Wow, very meta.
But that's the bonus movie.
The movie, and
it says, there's a warning on here. It says gore, nudity, violence, language, originality. And the movie is Ant Farm Dick Whip. Your first impressions.
I say touchdown spike that baby right in the ground.
Oh my God.
The title makes me uneasy.
Antoine Dickel was my favorite writer of the Harlem Renaissance.
And it says on the front, it says, he's got ants in his pants.
Oh, makes perfect sense.
Come on, baby.
And I actually don't think this is hyperbole. It says, this movie has the most WTF moments in the history of cinema.
Yeah.
Ant Farm Dickhole.
I have nothing to say because the title is so amazing.
The most movie is the incredible bulk of dickholes.
Why is Ant Farm Dickhole featuring a bloodied woman on the cover?
I have no
On account of the Ant Farm Dickhole.
Oh. Does he spew them out of his dickhole? There's so many. Can we get Bill here for a Q&A?
When erect, the ants come out.
Is it a climax feature, or is it just like every day there's just little ants crawling out of the top of his dickhole?
I like that better.
Well,
I would like a permanent.
The bonus movie Ass Monsters.
I'm gonna have some action movie out of new paths and stuff in there and made it full.
That's right.
Ant farms are beautiful, first of all, and dickholes are fine on their own. But I would never combine them.
That's how he gets his date. He's like, you want to see a real ant
farm? The seminal, pun intended, moment of this movie is when they chop in half and put glass on the side so you can see what's happening.
This one, so raise your hand.
Oh my God, everybody put your hands up.
Oh!
Right in the dickhole.
You know what? You wished hard enough and you beat those two tall guys and landed right in your arms. That's right. The power of prayer works.
Yep. She has her own ant farm dickhole now.
Congratulations.
Okay, now, some of you might be able to guess this movie. All right? I'm gonna start reading the cast. See if you can guess. Glenn Plummer. Rena Riffle, Dewey Weber. No one knows who the fuck those people are. But it says, here's a quote from movies.com. It says, goes to a maniac, superstar level all its own. The show is about to begin again. It's Showgirls 2.
Wow!
Showgirls 2, which I didn't even know fucking existed.
No way.
From the first movie in that.
Wait, it's called Pennies from Heaven.
Now, here.
It's spelled wrong.
This is interesting. Gawker.com says, so weird, Showgirls 2 doesn't suck. Which one would have thought that this would have sucked?
What?
So it's better than the original?
Read that first review again. It sounds like they literally just went every fifth word for it. It was like, this feature
goes to a maniac
friendship.
Superstar level all the time.
Maniac superstar level.
No, manic.
Manic. Oh, manic.
Changes
right.
Everything.
There you go. Okay, it says
oh,
the
never mind. Then I agree completely with the review.
That's right. Changes everything.
The most anticipated follow-up in cult movie history.
What?
And someone's going to get it. Someone, I'm going to try and in a direction over here. Dang, you got it. It's all right.
Wow.
I have one final film. I have one final film for our podcast here. Oh, it's a classic.
Oh, boy.
It's a classic. It stars Aaron Brown, Rachel Crowe, Scarlett Storm. In this story, girls are the ones who say, don't use your teeth, it's dick sharp! Guys, just based on the box, on the cover of Dick Sharp, what are your first impressions?
Listen, the first impressions would be a lie, because if you think I haven't riffed on Dick Sharp in a panel before, because I have. My other first impression is that I have a copy of that, whence you gave to me last Phoenix Comic Con, proudly displayed in my apartment, which I unfortunately realized is right when people walk in. So, have I had a lady caller come in and notice Dick Sharp before? Yes, I have. Have I had to explain? I have a buddy, and he's got a film magazine? Yes, I have. So that's my personal Dick Sharp.
I'm super pissed, because I was pitching a lawyer, like a serious lawyer show, called Dick Sharp.
For real?
Yeah, he's like a real dick, but he's also a good lawyer. He's like a top lawyer. And everyone calls him Dick Sharp. Oh, good luck against old Dick Sharp, they say.
He's moving forward towards the truth or he'll die. Dick Sharp. Legally, Paul and I now own it.
If the tagline for that movie is, it's not safe to go back in the waterbed, they did a disservice to everyone. That's That's right. I'll do a dick shark pun. What are you all above it? Come on.
I like the fact that it's one word.
I'm new to the Scarlet right. Storm multiverse, but I gotta say, her word. Sorry, John.
There are, as well, whoever gets this DVD, whoever leaps of all the rest of you, will notice more than one typo on the back of it, I promise you.
And you know what? Here it goes. Ready, folks? The last DVD. Here it goes. Hopefully it won't hurt anybody. Oh, yeah. That's your second copy of Dick Shark, sir. It must be. I really want to thank everybody here on our panel. You guys are amazing. Paul Goble, DJ Chambers, Tommy Bechtel, John Schneck, I'm Chris Lohr. Come to my booth at 1622 here at Phoenix Comic Con. I've got Film Threat stickers, Film Threat t-shirts. You can pick up a copy of my book, Celebrities Poop. I want to thank you guys for coming here to the con. Thank you. Phoenix Comic Con, always nice to meet. I'd love to come back next year to see you guys. Thank you, everyone. And also, there's a comedy show tonight we're doing it. Hey, could you plug that,
10 o'clock, Flame On in room 122 ABC. We're doing a cosplay comedy roast battle. So you see characters roast each other.
We're all in.
And yeah, a bunch of us. Yeah so.
In character, in costume.
Come on by. Yep.
Yep. Cool. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love you being at Comic-Con.
Thank you.
If you're still listening to this, you're probably a lot like me. You're the kind of person that stays all the way through the credits wondering, why the hell didn't Chris say, let's get out of here? We're a lot alike, and I like you. For that, you shall be rewarded. Send a self-addressed stamp envelope to Film Threat International Headquarters, 5042 Wilshire Boulevard. That's Wilshire Boulevard, PMB. 1500 Los Angeles, California, 90036. And make fun of Chris for screwing up. You'll get something good, I promise. All right, let's do this proper. Let's get out of here!